Hi, this is Glenn Haskell, one of the writers and producers here at Misfits Audio. To say I love Christmas would be an understatement. Every year I look for new and sometimes old ways of sharing the holiday spirit. This audio drama shares three stories that you probably never heard. Each story was adapted and changed from the original public domain story. If you're ready, let's head to a classic Oregon Trail Christmas.
The days are so cold and this Christmas is lonely. In the old settler's cabin that houses him only. The guest unexpected, the guest oh so needy. There's not much to give and he's not being greedy. Yet what he thought important and couldn't be spared was just what made Christmas want to be shared. Let's head to Big Rattle where two old friends meet. The wind is a-howling and the snow's getting deep.
Christmas guest on Big Rattle.
Archer sat at the Big Rattle camp, watching the fire. It was Christmas Eve, a season apiece, he told himself, as he watched the fire on the rough, undecorated walls of the cabin. Outside, the wind blew, sweeping over the treetops. The air was cold. Sokolby had tramped many miles, all the way from Fox Harbor. His wife was sick, his baby hungry. During the weary journey, he'd found no food. The man was hungry and weak, but he kept walking. Sokolby brightened when he finally saw Archer's cabin. Archer was dreaming of Christmas when he was startled by a rattle of snowshoes and a soft knock on the door. He sprang across the cabin and pulled open the door. A short, stooping figure shuffled in and fell against him.
"Merry Christmas. How do?"
said a weary voice.
"Merry Christmas, brother.
Bless me, but it's Sokolby."
"I'm very tired,"
replied the man, sinking to the floor. Archer helped him to a nearby bunk. The man sunk into the bed and rested. After a while, Sokolby opened his eyes and gazed at Archer.
"John Archer, thank you, my friend," he said. "Any food?"
"What do you say to bacon and tea? Or would tinned beef suit you better?"
Archer said. "Bacon, please," replied Sokolby. He lifted himself on his elbow and watched Archer pull a frying pan from under the bunk. Well, by the time the bacon was fried, Sokolby was revived enough to sit by the fire. It was easy to see he was hungry. Archer looked on as his friend ate and said,
"Sokolby, you going to kill yourself?"
"Nope, don't think so," replied the man as he downed another slice and mouthful of hard bread.
"What brings you here this time of year?"
asked Archer. "My wife and baby are sick. Nothing to eat." Archer gazed at the fire.
"No luck fishing?"
he asked. His guest shook his head. "Not much." He drew his sleeve across his mouth. Well, the two men talked for hours. Sokolby had lots of news to share. Soon they both began to nod. Archer made a bed on the floor for Sokolby with a couple of caribou skins and a heavy blanket. Sokolby watched him with interest. "Can I take some bacon with me?" he asked. "My family's hungry, and bacon is better than fish."
Archer shook his head. "You'll have to do with fish," he replied. "But I'll give you a tin of condensed milk for your baby."
"I do appreciate it," said Sokolby.
Archer thought about the food he had. Then, going over to a bag near his bunk, he pulled out a bright red silk handkerchief and a red flannel shirt.
"You're welcome to these," he said.
Sokolby was grateful. Archer tied the articles into a neat pack and stood it in a corner.
"Now we better get some sleep," he said, and blew out the light.
In 10 minutes, both men were in a deep sleep of the weary. The fire faded and flushed like a precious jewel. The wind washed over the cabin and brushed against the door. It was dawn when Archer awoke. He sat up in his bunk and looked about the room. Sokolby was nowhere to be seen. He glanced at the corner by the door. Rifle and pack were both gone. He looked up at the rafter where a slab of bacon was always hung. It, too, was gone. He jumped out of his bunk and ran to the door. He looked out. Not a breath of air stirred. In the east, bright colors broke the Christmas morning sky, and he saw the imprints of Sokolby's round snowshoes. For a long time, the trapper stood in the doorway in silence, looking out at the stillness and beauty.
"Poor Sokolby," he said after a while. "Well, he's welcome to the bacon, even if it's all I had."
He turned to light the fire and prepare breakfast. Something at the foot of his bunk caught his eye. He went over and took it up. It was a beautiful handmade quilt. He turned it over and a note fell out with Sokolby's writing. It read, "Archer."
"Well, bless my old friend," exclaimed the trapper huskily. "Who would have thought I should get a Christmas present?"
And Archer spent Christmas morning considering that perhaps bacon was a small price to pay for good friends. And as he thought, the wind sang a holiday tune, and it reminded Archer that he was never really alone.
You just heard a tale of men who had little, We take a new trip to a home filled with victuals. Three children are restless in need of a story. A papa wants rest, must choose between tale or be sorry. Is it a story of pigs or a tale of desire? The three children snuggle close to the fire. And what will they learn in a story of stuff? Perhaps satisfaction comes when you live with enough.
Be careful what you ask for.
Would you three go get your papa? I've got breakfast to get ready.
Papa? Are you busy?
Why, yes. Yes, I am.
You know what?
I'm trying to wake up.
But you could tell us a story, right?
I could, but I'm...
Okay.
I'm busy. All right, come here.
Yay!
Oh, you're getting big. Okay, once upon a time, there was a little pig.
No, Papa, not a pig story.
Yeah, we're tired of those.
You are, huh?
Well, what?
Well, what kind of story shall I tell then?
Christmas.
Yay, Christmas!
Christmas. Well, how about the little girl who wanted Christmas every day?
That's better than pigs.
Yeah.
Although a girl who wanted Christmas every day and a pig are a lot alike. Both are pretty greedy.
The story, Papa.
Once there was a little girl who liked Christmas so much that she wanted it to be Christmas every day. And she began to send postcards to the Christmas fairy to ask if she could have it. But the old fairy never answered. And after a while, the little girl learned that the fairy was pretty particular and would only accept letters, not postcards. The day before Christmas, she got a letter from the fairy saying she could have Christmas every day for a year. And then they would see about having it longer.
Christmas?
Every day?
Oh!
Yes. The little girl was preparing for the regular once-a-year Christmas that was coming the next day, and she kept the Christmas everyday news to herself. She wanted to surprise everybody with it when it kept coming true. Funny how the once-a-year Christmas makes you forget everything else.
She forgot?
Yep, she had a wonderful Christmas. She went to bed early to make sure Santa Claus would fill the stockings. In the morning, she was the first one up. Her stocking was filled with goodies. Then she waited around till the rest of the family were up to open the big presents. It was a wonderful Christmas. She ate so much candy, she didn't want breakfast. She ate turkey and cranberry and nuts and raisins and oranges and more candy. Then she went out for a sled ride and came in with a stomach ache, crying. Everybody went to bed unhappy. They had acted like...
pigs.
Papa, no pigs.
Oh, that's right. Where was I? Oh, yes. The little girl slept well and had to be awakened by her family holding stockings filled with goodies.
It was Christmas again?
Well, yes. Seems the Christmas fairy had made it possible. So the family went through the goodies, the presents, the sled ride, and the tummy ache all over again.
When you put it that way, they do sound like pigs.
Oink, oink.
Ah, but remember, that's only part of the story.
That's good.
Well, the little girl's parents didn't quite know what to think. Something was wrong, but they didn't know how to correct it. Each new day, the family was more grumpy. And at the end of the week, so many people had lost their tempers that you could pick up lost tempers anywhere. Usually you got somebody else's. And we never like other people's bad tempers. The little girl was ashamed to ask the fairy to take back her gift. It seemed ungrateful. But she had no idea how she could stand this for a whole year. And so it went on and on. It was Christmas on Valentine's Day and President's Day.
And April Fool's?
Yeah, although that day everyone thought it was just a joke.
Ooh, hoo, hoo.
Yep, that too.
How about Labor Day?
Yeah, even No Housework Day.
No housework? I like the sound of that.
I thought you might, dear. Potatoes and turkeys were hard to find. They began to call almost everything a turkey. The most famous was half-grown hummingbirds. People had to pay a diamond for a cranberry. The forests were empty because everyone needed new Christmas trees. They were even using palm trees. People couldn't afford to buy new presents every day, so they started giving some of their old presents and using newspapers to wrap the gifts.
Oh, that's bad.
So what happened?
What happened next, Papa?
Well, after it had gone on a few months, whenever the little girl would come into the room in the morning and saw those great, ugly, lumpy stockings dangling at the fireplace and the disgusting presents around everywhere, she would just sit down and burst out crying. In 6 months, she was exhausted. She couldn't even cry anymore. She just laid on the couch and rolled her eyes.
That's horrible.
People didn't carry presents around nicely anymore. They flung them over the fence or on the porch. Nearly everybody had rented storage lockers to hold their presents. But pretty soon, they couldn't even hold the presents. So the people let the gifts lie out in the rain or on the grass or in the trees. Sometimes the police used to come and tell them to shovel their presents off the sidewalk.
Wasn't everyone poor?
Well, they were. But if they really wanted a gift, they could just walk out to the sidewalk or the dumpster. You could always find a gift that year, although no one seemed to want them.
How was it at Thanksgiving?
I'm almost afraid to tell you.
Well, then you gotta tell.
You gotta know what happened.
Yeah, we gotta know.
All right. Before Thanksgiving arrived, it was discovered who had caused all these Christmases.
No?
Actually, yes. And the little girl suffered so much, hardly anybody would play with her. If it had not been for her greediness, this wouldn't have happened. And now, Thanksgiving had come, and she wanted them to go to church and show their gratitude. But they said that all the turkeys had been eaten up for her Christmas dinners. And if she would stop the Christmases, then maybe they would be grateful.
That wasn't very nice.
The very next day, the little girl began to send letters to the Christmas fairy, and then telegrams to stop it. But it didn't do any good. And then she got to calling at the fairy's house, but that didn't do any good. And so it went on until it came to the old once-a-year Christmas Eve. The little girl fell asleep, and when she woke up in the morning,
she had breakfast?
No.
She found it was all nothing but a dream?
No.
She washed her hair?
No.
Nope.
There has to be more.
Breakfast is ready.
Oh, Papa, don't stop. I don't want to eat, Papa. You can't end the story like that.
But breakfast.
We got to know what happened.
Breakfast is ready.
Well, she woke up to find that it wasn't Christmas at all. In fact, Christmas would never come again anymore at all. Okay, let's eat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Papa, I'm hungry, but that's no way to end a story. You gotta finish it right.
Really? Let's go get some breakfast.
Papa, the story isn't cooked enough. There's gotta be more. You can't just leave the story like that.
Yeah, don't leave the story like that. But make it quick.
I know. Breakfast. Okay, kids, how do you think the story should end?
Christmas, once a year.
Well, since I'm making this up, I suppose it would be all right.
So what happened?
Everyone was happy, even people in Canada and Sheboygan. The people met together and cleaned things up. Unopened presents were used as frisbees, and the children had no interest in getting more presents that day. They all had the greatest time. And the little girl went to thank the old fairy because it was no longer Christmas every day. The girl hoped the fairy would keep her promise and see that Christmas never, never came again. Then the old fairy frowned and asked her if she was sure she knew what she wanted. And the little girl wanted to know, why not? And the old fairy said that now she was being greedy.
Again?
Again. This made the little girl think it all over carefully again. And after some thought, she said Christmas once a year would be all right. Then the fairy said that was a good plan. That had pleased the people ever since Christmas began, and the next Christmases would come just once.
Yay!
Yay!
So, how was that?
I loved it, Papa.
My favorite part was the half-grown hummingbird.
Are you coming to breakfast? What have I been listening to?
Oh, just a before-breakfast story. Now how about some tickles for breakfast? Gotcha.
Joe once understood the heart of the season, but this year he just wasn't sure of the reason. A late-night visit from a jolly elf and a beard forced him to think as the blessed day neared. He remembers his childhood. He remembers his boy. What seems like melancholy might become joy. And the key to the season was a heart younger than face. Hands helping others. Old Santa presents his case.
Late night conversation.
Joe Baker was very unhappy. It was Christmas Eve and he was miserable. Christmas music disturbed him. The jingle of holiday bells threatened to drive him mad, and the wind outdoors annoyed Joe Baker. Christmas used to mean something, but that was long ago. Not anymore. There's nothing in Christmas, at least for me. It's been so long since Santa Claus remembered me that I'm sure he doesn't even remember my name. Sure, it used to be different. Santa Claus used to think a great deal of me when I was a boy. I am no boy anymore. Joe suddenly became aware that somebody was entering the room. First came a draft of cold air, then a scraping, and then a strange shuffling, and all at once, Joe saw a pair of legs and a body dangle down the chimney, followed presently by a long white beard, a jolly red nose, and two bright twinkling eyes, while over the head and forehead were drawn a fur cap white with snowflakes.
Oh, they don't have the big wide chimneys they used to build, but they can't keep Santa Claus out, no sir.
Joe knew this was Santa Claus. He'd seen him once before when he was a little boy, and he'd never forgotten how Santa Claus looked. And Santa Claus had not forgotten Joe. Santa Claus looked kindly at Joe and smiled.
Merry Christmas to you, Joe.
Thank you, Santa, but I don't believe it's going to be a very Merry Christmas. It's been so long since I've had a Merry Christmas that I don't believe I'd know how to act if I had one.
Let's see, it's been about 50 years since I saw you last. Yes, you were 8 years old the last time I slipped down the chimney of the old homestead and filled your stocking. Do you remember?
Oh, I remember it well. I'd made up my mind to lie awake and see Santa Claus. I'd heard tell of you, but I'd never seen you. So I watched for you to come. I had to see you. I heard the big clock in the sitting room strike 11, and I began wondering if you were ever going to come. When all of a sudden I heard the tinkle of the bells around your reindeer's neck. Then I heard the reindeers prancing on the roof. I was kind of scared and covered my head up with the sheets and quilts. Only I left a little hole so I could peek out and see what was going on. As soon as I saw you, I got over being scared, for you were jolly, and you chuckled as you went around to each stocking and filled it up.
I remember that night. I brought you a sled.
A red one with Yankee Doodle painted on the side.
It was made especially for you, you know.
You filled all the stockings with candy and popcorn and nuts and raisins. And I can remember you said you were afraid you'd run out of popcorn balls before the night was over. Well, it was all I could do to lay still. But somehow or other, I began to feel sleepy all at once. And I couldn't keep my eyes open. Well, the next thing I knew, Otis was nudging me in the ribs. Santa Claus chuckled. His rosy cheeks beamed with joy. Did you ever slide downhill, Santa Claus? Yeah, I don't mean small hills like they have out here in this new country, but one of them old-fashioned New England hills that was made specially for boys to slide down. And about 10 times longer coming up than it was going down. Wind blew in our faces and almost took our breath away. Well, about the only thing that made the day less than perfect. Morris Frisbee said he wasn't going to have folks breaking their necks just on account of a lot of frivolous boys that was bent on hurting themselves and others.
I remember. I saw it all.
That was so long ago. So very long ago. And I've had no Christmas since. Only once. When our little one, Marthy's and mine. You remember him, Santa Claus?
A toddling little boy with blue eyes.
Little Joe. He was like his mother, you know, gentle and loving. He wasn't more than 3 years old when you came with your Christmas presents for him, Santa Claus. We told him about you, and he used to go to the chimney every night and make a little prayer about what he wanted you to bring him. And you brought him, too, a stick horse and a picture book and some blocks and a drum. They're on the shelf in the closet there. And his little Christmas stocking with him. I saved them all. And I've taken them out and held them in my hand oh so many times.
But when I came again,
his little bed was empty and I was alone. He killed his mother. Marthy was so tender-hearted, she kind of drooped after that. So now they've been asleep side by side in the burying grounds these 30 years. Well, maybe that's why I'm so sad-like whenever Christmas comes, Santa Claus. The remembering makes me bitter almost. It's so different now from what it used to be.
No, Joe. Oh, no, it's the same world, and human nature is the same and always will be. You've just forgotten that this is a season where childhood must bloom in old hearts.
True. But how may I know and feel this gladness when I have no little stocking hanging in my chimney corner? No child to call me Papa. I am alone.
And that's where you're wrong, Joe. There are children in the city who would love and bless you for your goodness if you could make them happy. Give me just one gift tonight that I can give to a small boy. Joe, I know this boy well. He's poor and sick. A simple toy will fill his Christmas with gladness. You could do that, couldn't you?
His little sister, too. Take her some presents. Make him happy for me, Santa Claus. You're right. Make him happy for me. How sweetly Joe slept when he awoke. The sunlight streamed through the window and seemed to bid him a Merry Christmas. How contented and happy Joe felt. It must have been the talk with Santa Claus that did it. He'd never known a sweeter sense of peace. A little girl came out of the house over the way. She had a new doll in her arms, and she sang a merry little song, and she laughed with joy. And at the window sat the little sick boy, and the toy Santa Claus left him seemed to have brought him strength and health, for his eyes sparkled and his cheeks glowed, and it was plain to see that his heart was full of happiness. And oh, the chimes did ring out, and how joyfully they sang their Christmas carol that morning. They sang of love and charity till all the Christmas air seemed full of music. The carols, the sound of children's voices, the smile of the poor little boy over the way. All this sweet music crept into Joe's heart that Christmas morning. Yes, and with these sweet holy influences came others so subtle and divine that in its silent communion with them, Joe's heart cried out amen and amen to the glory of the Christmas time.
Thanks for spending some time with us for Holiday Review, featuring adapted stories by Eugene Field, Theodore Goodridge Roberts, and William D. Howells. Each story offers perspective on the holidays, from greed to longing. I'd like to thank some special people for their help with Holiday Review. The Dehnert family. That's John, Katie, Joni, Chloe, and Rigby, who voiced our middle story. And Hattie Lee for additional voices. Poetry and the stories within Holiday Review were written, revised, adapted, performed, and produced by Glenn Haskell. Additional mixing by John Dehnert. Executive producer and webmaster, Captain John Tatterzak. Music provided by Incompetech.com and Katie Dehnert. This production is for enjoyment purposes only and is an original production by Misfits Audio, copyright 2014. All rights reserved. All the characters portrayed in this story are fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely coincidental.